This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Amen. We should never ever take for granted the opportunity we have of coming together for worship. As some of you heard last Sabbath, I was making my way here and I ended up spending the Sabbath at a rest stop, as my vehicle had other ideas. As I waited the few hours for the folks from AAA to show up, I decided to make a sanctuary right where I was at the rest area. So we must never take for granted when we come to this place. When we got dressed and left out and came here, that is because God is good. Amen. Let me welcome every worshiper, those who are in-house, those joining us online as we seek to connect with God together. I think I'm having my preaching assistant coming to join me here. As we continue in worship with the study of the Word, let me direct our attention to one of the most popular chapters in the Bible, John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we'll begin with what is arguably the most popular verse, verse 16, and read on to verse 21. The Word of God reads, the New King James Version's rendition of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." These are the words of Jesus. For those of us who have the red letter edition of Scripture of the Bible, it is written in red. These are the words of Jesus, and neighbor, I believe them. How about you? I believe them. As we look at these verses today, we'll do so through the lens of our topic, no condemnation. No condemnation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the clear evidences of your presence here in the service. We ask that your Holy Spirit will continue his work, go by every pew, stop by every heart, remove every distraction, arrest our attention, speak to our hearts and our heads, and use this feeble mortal clay to share words of truth, words of hope, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe, neighbor, that from the onset, it is instructive to know that these verses, John's Gospel, chapter 3, 16 through to 21, are part of a dialogue, a conversation that our Lord had with one of the who's who at Jerusalem at the time. John says in verse 1 that this man, Nicodemus, was a Pharisee. He was a what? He was a what? He was a Pharisee, one of the rulers of the Jewish nation. John notes in verse 2 of the chapter that he, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night. He came when? By night. Subsequently, on two other occasions, John in his gospel tags Nicodemus with this moniker. In chapter 7, verse 50, and chapter 19, verse 39, he tags Nicodemus with the moniker, he who came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus came to our Lord by night. He came incognito. He came under the cover of darkness. And permit me, because I can see him now in my holy imagination. After he and Mrs. Nicodemus had retired for the evening, he tried to wiggle out of bed without awaking her. But she was stirred by his movements as he donned his robe and slipped into his sandals. "Where are you going, hon?" she whispered in her half-sleeping stupor. He responded, "I'm going to see a man about a horse there. Go back to sleep." He headed out the door and cautiously navigated the dimly lit streets of Jerusalem. As he made his way to the place where the miracle-working rabbi had retired for the night with his disciples, he came to Jesus at night. Neighbor, it's always night in the soul whenever we're outside of Jesus. It's always night in the soul whenever we're outside of Jesus. I thank God that I can come to him during the nights of life experiences. I wish I had a witness. I can come to God during the nights of my life experiences. Perhaps it is night in your soul right now. Perhaps it is night in your finances. Perhaps it is night in your relationship. Perhaps it is night in your physical health. I'm here to tell you that you and I, we can still come to Jesus amidst our deep, dark doldrums of despair and doubt. We can come to him in the nighttime of our experiences. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And after the greetings, our Lord moved from the formalities and got straight to the heart of the matter, saying pointedly to him, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Listen, Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's not an option. It's not a choice on the buffet line. No, if you must see the kingdom of God, you must be. It is a divine imperative. Nicodemus thought that his Abrahamic roots and ancestry were more than adequate for him. He has been taught all his life, and also taught himself that as a result of his link to Abraham, he was covered. But Jesus said, no, that is not adequate. You must be born again. When it comes to salvation, it's not a matter of your pedigree or degree. It's not a matter of your ancestry. It's not a matter of your ethnicity and your mother tongue. When you come to Jesus, it's a matter of being born again. There are no exceptions. In other words, you and I have got to have a personal relationship with Jesus, a personal encounter with him. Listen, neighbor, Jesus has no, God has no grandchildren. Jesus proceeds in the chapter to explain to this learned leader the science of salvation. Jesus says in verse 16, listen, Nicodemus, for God, my Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Note, neighbor, that salvation is God's initiative. Salvation is God's initiative. It is God who initiates. It is God who came seeking after man. And every chance I get, I tell the story, Sister Norma, of how I first met one of the most beautiful creatures on God's creation years ago. And now I had stepped to her and made my case as to why she'd be so blessed to have me in her life. And I remember she was so blasé about it. She was not impressed by my language, not impressed by my good looks. She seemed unimpressed at the time. Until I got the back story from her sister that said otherwise. But after we started dating and courting and when we got married, I realized that it wasn't so much that I chose her, but that she had chosen me. And I know I'm letting out the secret for some ladies, but ladies have a way, gentlemen, men, to make you feel that it was your call. You see, she saw you coming miles. I wish I had a witness. She saw you coming miles away. And from the first sentence, she has made up her mind whether or not you stand a chance. Hello. When it comes to salvation, Jesus is saying, listen, Nicodemus, it is not what man does. It is a God initiative. And the motivation for this, he says, is God's love for humanity. God loved, therefore, he gave. God so loved the world, therefore, he gave. So his motivation is love. With Jesus, notice, being the agency through which he offers the gift of salvation. It was important that this Jewish leader understood that salvation was not about the rites and the ceremonies. As a matter of fact, the rites and the ceremonies pointed to him, Jesus, found their fulfillment in him. In her book, Steps to Christ, page 30, prolific Christian author and writer Ellen G. White says it this way. She says, in giving up his son, he, God, poured out to us all of heaven in one gift. In giving us Jesus, God poured out all of heaven in one gift. Here we see in this verse that for God, watch this, love is not an event, love is not a noun, but for God, love is an action. Because God loves, God gave. He gave his only begotten son, his monogenes, pastor, the unique one, no one before him, no one after him. God loved, so he gave his only son. He poured out all of heaven into this one gift that whoever believes, listen, neighbor, there are no limits to the love of God. Whoever believes, It has nothing to do with your ancestry, whoever believes. It has nothing to do with your mother tongue, whoever believes. It has nothing to do with your ethnicity, whoever believes. It has nothing to do with the hue of your skin. Whoever believes in him will have access to grace. There are none to whom God arbitrarily refuses, Jesus says, the benefits of saving grace. But neighbor, there's one condition. Notice, belief in Jesus and willing to cooperate in Jesus. In other words, you and I cannot be saved outside of Jesus. And in verse 17, Jesus expands to Nicodemus on God's intention and clearly identifies why God sent him, Jesus. Notice in verse 17, Jesus says, hey, Nicodemus, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That was not God's objective, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, Nicodemus, the Savior, the Messiah, is not on a condemnation mission. He is on a salvation mission. And I believe that the church of God must be a salvation zone. Come on, say amen. I believe that every person who walks into these doors must find an atmosphere of acceptance, an atmosphere of salvation. They must find an attitude that says, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done and how long you've done, if you come to Jesus, he will save you. Some of us, we like our sinners to be clean. He's too messed up. We can't deal with him. Oh, she's got too many issues. Oh, I hope she's not coming here. You see, we have a way as human beings to grade sin. For God, there are no big sins and little sins. Hello? Now, don't get it twisted. There are some sins that have greater consequences than others. But don't believe that because you know, I'm faithful to my wife and I'm fine. You can be disconnected from God through gossip. Because there's some folks, praise God, not here in Plantation, hallelujah. There's some folks who will not commit murder with a knife or a gun or anything like that, but they kill folks every time with their tongue. The fact is that every one of us, we stand in need of the grace of God. Come on, say amen. And the church must have an atmosphere of acceptance. Not an acceptance of sin, but an acceptance of sinners. Come on, say amen. God did not send me here, Nicodemus, to condemn the world. My father did not send me on a mission of damnation. He sent me on a mission of salvation. Now, Jesus, watch this in verse 18. He helps Nicodemus to understand that condemnation, follow me carefully, that condemnation or judgment is a current reality for humanity and not some distant or remote event. In other words, in verse 18, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you're thinking perhaps it is the judgment to come. You're thinking that is the condemnation to come. No, I'm telling you, by virtue of being outside of me, you are facing or dealing with the reality of condemnation. In other words, it's a current reality. And the only way to overcome that condemnation, he says, is to believe in God's Son and watch this, thereby experience the present reality of the kingdom of God. Let me put it where you can touch it. On the one hand, listen, Nicodemus, condemnation is not some future event. It is something that you experience now by virtue of being a sinner. But when you believe in me, when you accept me, you receive eternal life, which, by the way, is not a future reality, but a current reality. In other words, the moment you accept Jesus, your eternal life begins. Now, don't get it twisted. It doesn't mean that you are exempt from physical death. But the condemnation that is spoken of in Scripture is the death that is spoken of in Scripture. And the death that Jesus died on the cross was not the mere cessation of life. What he experienced was eternal separation from the Father. And when we believe in him, when we accept him, then we have eternal life that becomes our reality. But watch verse 19 through to verse 21. Jesus says, and this is the condemnation. Now, condemnation is a current reality. And you can escape that current reality by accepting me, Jesus, and then you receive another reality, and that is eternal life. Now, Jesus says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For don't miss this, for everyone practicing evil. Do you see that? He's not talking about people who make mistakes and mess up every now and again. No, he's talking about those who live a lifestyle of evil. He says, for anyone who practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And don't miss it. Don't miss this. In these verses, Jesus speaks of light that has come into the world, which is a clear reference not only to the truth of the gospel, yea, the truth of God's word, but it's also a reference to himself. And don't miss this. When Nicodemus came to him at night. Stay with me. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And when he came to Jesus, he was not only enlightened regarding the gospel, but also regarding the nature and role of Jesus as it relates to salvation. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, but he experienced the light of his word and the light of his presence. But Jesus says, condemnation is now the result of humanity's refusal to accept the light. Before, it was a current reality by virtue of being part of Adam's race. But now, it is a reality because we reject or refuse to accept the light. And Jesus, in these verses, he reveals the motives. He says, because their deeds are evil, lest their deeds should be exposed, they refuse or reject the light. I can remember Kirk as a teen going to summer camp. One year I went to a summer camp and I saw this girl and I had an interest in her and started talking with her. And one evening we got into a nice dark place. I thought it was a cool place for us to be. And I'm there talking to the girl. And one of the camp counselors came up and he said to me, Noelle, she'll look better in the light. She'll look better in the light. And that was his way of saying, don't be talking to her in the dark. She'll look better in the light. Jesus says that the light has come, and it's not that people don't have access to the light, but it's because their motives are not pure, because their deeds are evil. They don't want their deeds to be exposed. Follow me carefully. In the context of the conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus was pointing out that there were those Jewish leaders hiding in the shadows of the types. They were hiding behind the formalities, hiding behind the ceremonies, that they took advantage of the ignorance of the folks. And they bent and twisted the law to favor themselves. And the light would expose them,
That is, the ministry and life of Jesus would expose them. Therefore, they refused him. They rejected him. But praise God, not Nicodemus. Because we see Nicodemus in this story, Elder Alex, coming to Jesus and searching. He was not yet ready to claim him as Lord. But by the time we get to the crucifixion and the burial, we find Nicodemus embracing Jesus publicly. Let me say to some believer here that God has no undercover Christians. God has no undercover Christians. You've got to be a person of faith while you're in worship. You've got to be a person of faith while you're in your cubicle at work. You've got to be a person of faith even as you're standing in the checkout line at Publix. I'm going to Publix now, not so much Walmart. See, the difference between perishing and living, the difference between condemnation and salvation, Jesus says, is faith in him. Let me say that again. The difference between perishing and living, the difference between condemnation and salvation, is faith in Jesus Christ. I want to bring this so close to with one of my favorite passages of scripture by Paul, the book of Romans, is chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and Paul begins at verse 31. For those of you who are conversant with this book of Paul, you know that Paul argues in the book of Romans about the law and the grace, law and grace, helping us to appreciate the role and function of the law, the role and function of grace. And Paul helps us to understand that grace is no license to live a life of disgrace. But Paul, in these verses, beginning at verse 31, Paul says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And I want to say amen. If you've got God on your side, anyone who comes up against you, know that it is futile. If God is for us, who be against us? He, notice, who did not spare his own son, but what? Delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us? How many things? And don't miss these two verses, 33 and 34. He says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. As the kids would say, beep, 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 back it up. You have no power or authority to condemn me unless you had died for me. I wish somebody would get this. You have no right or power to write me off unless or until you've died for me. The only person who can condemn me is Jesus. And so, don't get bent out of shape when folks write you off. As long as Jesus has not written you off, you're okay. Listen, the church may even write you off, but as long as Jesus has not written. Listen, the church did not die for you. Jesus did. Oh, who can condemn me? Paul says. Who can condemn me? And then verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And is it written, for your sake, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet in all things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded, Paul says, I'm fully convinced. You can't change my mind on this. Paul says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, neighbor. Jesus, God through Jesus, offers life, salvation, no condemnation. Here's the theme. Put it there, guys. Here's the theme. Here's what I want you to leave with. God is what? So desirous of saving us more than we desire to be saved. His desire is driven by his what? His unconditional love for us, which he demonstrated by giving us Jesus. Let me close with a bit of U.S. history to bring this together. His name was George Wilson. In 1833, then U.S. President Andrew Jackson offered him clemency, offered him pardon. You see, what had happened a few years before that, Wilson, along with his friend James Potter, held up a postman, roughed him up real bad, putting the man's life in jeopardy. They were arrested. They were tried for federal crimes, and they were sentenced to death by hanging. James Potter was hanged first. And while they were waiting to execute George Wilson, some of his friends who had some connection to Andrew Jackson made a plea to the president. The president decided to offer Wilson a pardon. But to the surprise of everybody, Wilson rejected the pardon. People were surprised. And what's even more interesting, because of the rejection, it was taken to the Supreme Court to decide, is it possible for someone to reject a pardon? The court spent a few days arguing about whether or not someone could be refused a pardon given, writing for the majority. Chief Justice at the time, John Marshall, said, the court cannot give the prisoner the benefit of the pardon unless he claims the benefit of it. It is a grant to him. It is his property. He may accept it or not as he pleases. A pardon is an act of grace proceeding from the power entrusted with the execution of laws. But listen to this. But delivery is not completed without acceptance. It may be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered, And we as a court have no power in forcing him to accept it. That is a Supreme Court decision. 1833. Go and check it out. You see, God offers pardon and life through Jesus. He cannot force you to accept it. God has no plan that includes your damnation. God's plan is your salvation. Let me put it this way. God has a reservation for you in heaven. The Bible says that hell is reserved for the devil and his angels. If you must get to hell, you've got to make your own reservation. And you make your own reservation by rejecting God's offer of salvation. Do you get it? Listen, there's not going to be any oops moment in hell. There's not going to be any person who ends up being lost saying, oops, no, I didn't know that. Wow. Well, why am I here? No. You see, by default, by rejecting the offer of salvation, by rejecting the reservation that God has made for you in glory through Jesus, you automatically are accepting the reservation for damning. I thank God that because of Jesus, there is no condemnation. Doesn't matter what I've done. Doesn't matter where I've been. Doesn't matter how long I've done it. Through Jesus, there's no condemnation. If you believe that today, stand with me as we close. If you believe that today, that because of Jesus, in accepting him, accepting his offer of salvation. Listen, neighbor, I never worry about my salvation. The only concern I have is about my relationship with God. As long as I keep connected to him, I'll get there. One of the main features, Sir Henry, of South Florida, everybody has something in tow. There's always a vehicle pulling something, always a hitch. Somebody's got a wagon hitched to this, or a U-Haul hitched to this. And one of the simplest principles I've appreciated about hitches or things hooked up to something is this. As long as it stays connected to the engine, it will get where the engine is going. As long as you remain connected to Jesus, you will get where Jesus is going. I want to pray for somebody. God has spoken to your heart. He's saying, I love you with an everlasting love. It is because of the love that I came seeking you out. It is because of that love I sent my son. It is because of that love I provided salvation for you. God is more desirous of saving you than you are desirous of being saved yourself. So today I want to pray for you. I want to say, Pastor, I want to accept that today. Thought about it for some time and once walked with him, but I want to accept that today. Just raise your hand where you are. I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We have Elder Alex here. who can help you with next steps. Can help you with next steps. If you would just raise your hand, he can help you with the next steps. Can help you to make that decision for him. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much that because of Jesus, there is no condemnation. Doesn't matter how wretched we are, because of Jesus, we still have access to your grace. We leave this service knowing that condemnation is not our reality, but eternal life is our reality because of Jesus. We pray for the hands that were raised. For those who right there in their hearts are deciding for you, Lord. For those watching online and those who will watch in the immediate future, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will convict them and draw them to this reality. For there is no condemnation in you. We thank you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at PlantationSDA.tv.